Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him. And we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It is often that someone will die for a righteous person. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we know has a restored relationship with God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, thank you for your word that has been read and heard this morning. Let your word fill our hearts, that we might be guided by it and encouraged by it. And bless the words that are spoken this morning. May they be your words for your people. Amen. I've told stories before of my experience of clinical pastoral education, which is a required education that clergy in the United Methodist Church must go through in order to be ordained. And it's which you're in the hospital and you kind of learn how to do pastoral care by being thrown into the rooms, essentially, and having conversations with all that are hurting and those who are sick and struggling. And so the overseer of this, you basically have a supervisor and then a few other classmates. It's usually only about five other people that they have trained with you. And the entire point of this training is they throw you in to go and have a conversation and to be with someone. And then after that, you come back and you sit around a table and everyone criticizes good and bad your conversation that you had. And you look through it, and part of this is to help you to do better at being able to care for one another. But the other part of this training is a lot of self-reflection. They want you to deal with your own stuff that you have maybe hidden aside, or maybe you didn't realize you were struggling with. And so a lot of the times what would come up with, why did you respond that way to this person? Was there something in your life that kind of was triggered by the conversation you had? And it's a lot of back and forth between learning about pastoral care and reflecting on your own life and how maybe there are things that are causing you to not be as good as you can at caring for other people. So it's a wonderful training that I'm very grateful I have had to have because it is not actually required in every single conference. In the United Methodist Church, it's based on your location. So in Iowa, they require it. In other conferences, they don't necessarily say that you have to take this training. And so in seminary, I had a classmate of mine who was in a different conference there in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference, and there they don't require it. And I remember thinking that it was really sad because they were a wonderful person. They grew up in a great family life, a very, very sheltered life, but they hadn't yet experienced a sense of pain or suffering. They hadn't lost any family members. Nobody had died yet. They were fairly young. So they hadn't really knew what pain or suffering was about. And then to not have to take this required training, I was worried that how would they connect to church members, to those who were suffering, and to those who were in pain. And I think about that a lot in this passage, because Paul is saying that our suffering actually is a good thing because it causes us to have empathy and more compassion. That when you suffer, you can truly then understand somebody else who is suffering and in pain. You might not know their situation, you might not feel exactly the way they're feeling, but you understand what it means to hurt at times, to struggle, to see the pains and hardships of life, which at some point most of us go through a moment in our life of great pain or suffering. And so when we have these moments, Paul says, consider it pure joy that you are suffering, because it builds your character, it builds endurance, it builds strength, and most importantly, it builds that sense of compassion and empathy for one another, that it's a good thing that we suffer. But so many of us don't want to suffer, right? We do everything possible to avoid pain. We don't want to feel pain. We don't want to suffer. We want to cover it up, hide, run away, do what we can, because that's not a feeling that we want to have. And in that sense as well, Paul calls us out of this moment and he says, look at your life. Not only is suffering a good thing, but are you sitting in comfortability and being so comfortable that you choose that over suffering, and your comfortableness can cause harm to others? An example of this would be, I like chocolate just like other, many of you like chocolate, right? Right now I don't like chocolate so much, but you know, going to the store and getting a candy bar is not a problem. You can just go there and say, all right, I'll buy a Hershey's bar, or maybe you'll buy a Nestle's bar or a Mars bar. Those are the three main companies right here in the United States that we buy our chocolate from. But if you look into it realistically, that bar of chocolate that you were buying and you were eating was actually made, the cocoa beans, by children's slaves in different countries. If you look into the companies, there have been articles written where Nestle was one of the better of the three that came out and said, you know, by 2025, we would like to change this. We would like to have it be more fair trade, hire, and teach entrepreneurship to people in these other countries who are growing the cocoa beans. A few years later, they came out with a new article, and they've decided that they're just scratching all of that idea and going to continue doing what they have been doing, which is like Mars and Hershey's, hiring children and not paying them a fair wage to do the work of the cocoa beans, to harvest them, to plant them. So essentially, the chocolate we eat here in the United States, to keep the price down, they do this because then they can charge less for the product, they can make more money, and it's an endless cycle. But here, we love our chocolate, so we're not going to stop eating it. We continue to go to the store, right? We buy the Nestle's chocolate, we buy the Mars, or we buy the Hershey's. And it's never any process, but it's so much comfortable for us to just go and do that. And it's easy. If you want chocolate that's fair trade, to be honest, you probably have to go to Decora to go to the Whole Foods store. They do have fair trade chocolate that is made by people who are actually getting a fair wage for their work and for growing the cocoa beans. But you have to search for it. You have to research. That's not always easy, and we don't like that. That takes too much work. So we're okay with just going to the store and buying a chocolate candy bar. But if you're choosing the comfortableness of doing that over suffering a little bit, essentially you're choosing sin. We call this corporate sin that all of us are a part of. We are sinning because we're harming one another. And even if we don't mean to, even if we don't want to pay the $5 that it is, which it is kind of expensive to get the fair trade, we don't want to pay the $5, we're choosing our comfort and our choice of food over harming other people. And so Paul would say, sometimes choosing comfort over suffering is not the answer, because that's sinning. You're choosing to harm others. Again, another example of this would be, as churches, not just our denomination, but churches worldwide are suffering, especially here in the United States, and people are dying off, no one's coming in. There's a change in this atmosphere of church, and a lot of it is giving is down, volunteers down, discipleship, the understanding of it has changed. It used to be, you know, you go to church to hear God's word, to maybe be encouraged, but also to grow as a disciple, to go out beyond the walls, to do ministry, to be the hands and feet of Christ. The trend seems to be, if you look at many of your mega churches, and they're not all this way, but the trend seems to be to go to church just so you hear a good message. You feel good about yourself, and then you leave and come back the next week so you can be pumped up again and feel good about yourself. The problem with that understanding is, are we choosing comfort over suffering? We're choosing to go to a church to make us feel good, to be comfortable. We like the music, we like the message, but we're not choosing suffering to go to a church that challenges us, to calls us beyond our current situation and say to look beyond that. You could go to a church and hopefully the message has a good encouraging message, but sometimes you need to hear those messages that say, you know what, you failed this week. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep failing week after week? Are you going to keep doing what you've been doing? Or are you going to be like Christ and you're going to sacrifice and suffer a little bit to help someone else, to be more loving? That's the difference. And each message should still have one of hope, because we are still saved by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. But if you're not being challenged, if you're just sitting there and everything is comfortable all the time and you feel good, maybe you're not actually understanding what it means to be a disciple, what it means to suffer sometimes so that somebody else can have something better and a better and joyful life, that somebody else might truly see the love of God through your sacrifice. It is so easy for us to stay comfortable, to do things that we understand or that we like, and not choose suffering. Because again, we don't want to suffer. We do everything possible to avoid it. I sometimes do this and I feel horrible about it, but the recycling here, of course, it is okay, but we can only recycle right plastics 1 and 2. We can't recycle 5s or 4s or any of the other numbers. So we throw them away, and then I feel bad about it because I'm like, well, the environment is still suffering because of the other plastics, not the ones that I'm recycling. But it is so much more convenient to do that too, right? Sometimes it's annoying to have to rinse out that plastic container, to have to make it all clean, you know, and put it in a separate container away from my paper. I do it, but it's annoying and it's not comfortable, and I'd rather sometimes just throw it away and be okay with that. But I'm choosing in that moment, I'm choosing to suffer a little inconvenience for the time just to protect the environment. I mean, there's so many examples of this, even in your own personal life. Maybe you choose one night to give up your dinner so that you can feed somebody else who doesn't have dinner. It's an endless cycle that we can continue to look at. And Paul's message is then to convict us. It is to say, I'm not okay with just being comfortable. I want more than that. I want to reach out. I want to help those who are hurting and those who are suffering. And in order to do that, maybe sometimes I need to suffer. I need to sacrifice. I need to make some sort of change in my life, even if it's for one day. Today, I'm going to give this up so that somebody else can have a better chance of life. And maybe you'll go and you'll buy a fair trade chocolate bar, and it's so expensive so you can't buy it as much as you eat your normal chocolate. Maybe it just means instead of eating chocolate every day, it's every month or every week or something, right? It's a small sacrifice in a way when you think about the impact that you're making for those children who are working without getting paid as slaves in the cocoa farms. There are a lot of examples of this each and every day. And Paul's passage here in Romans were to the early Christians who were being persecuted. We don't understand that either, because we ourselves are not persecuted. We can walk out these doors, yell as loud as we want that we are Christians, and our life is not threatened. We're not going to be thrown in jail. We're not going to have stones thrown at us. We're not going to be threatened because we say that. We can't quite understand what they were going through. But what we can do is we can say, all right, we're comfortable here. We're comfortable in our position. So what does it look like to not be comfortable? To sacrifice a little bit, to suffer a little bit, put another dollar in to giving to someone, because maybe that $1 could have been used for a soda or something you wanted later on. Or maybe you're worried, if I put one more dollar into something, maybe I might not have enough later on. We're so worried about being comfortable that we oftentimes stay in that comfortability and cause more sin and harm than if we suffer or sacrifice even a little bit once in a while. And so Paul's message here in Romans is to think about and reflect upon that, but also to remember that every single one of us are trapped in a cycle of sin. That corporate sin I was talking about earlier with the chocolate companies, many of us are not going to stop eating the chocolate, right? We're trapped in it. We can't escape it. No matter how much knowledge you know, it is an endless cycle. Trust me, I go down it all the time. It's endless. Constantly. It's an endless cycle. And so we have to remember that in the second part of this passage, in which Jesus Christ died for all sinners, all of us, he didn't die for those who were good, because there are no good and perfect people. We all sin and we all fail. So we remember that in those times when we have failed, there is the grace and love of Jesus, our Lord, who gives us hope and who gives us peace. And because no matter what we do, we're going to fail in it. Does that mean we just be okay with that and stay comfortable? No. It means that we try to do better. We try to be more like Christ. But when we fail, we can still have hope that it's not the end of the world. That tomorrow will be better. I'll try better the next time. I will maybe try to get out of my comfort zone in a few weeks when I've overcome some obstacle that's preventing me from doing that. It means that we trust in the grace and love of God to give us the strength to overcome anything that we are dealing with, to overcome our hesitations and our sins and our failures. And it means we trust in the love of God to renew us when we have failed, to give us hope that it's not the end of the world, and that Christ has died for each and every one of us here today. Let us pray. God, we struggle at times to leave the comfortableness that we find ourselves in, and to step outside of that, to care for your people, your creation. We don't want to suffer. We avoid it at all costs, God, but sometimes you call us to sacrifice, just as your Son, Jesus Christ, gave up his entire life for us, that we might know of love and that we might feel and be redeemed by the grace that is undeserved but is given to us freely. Help us to cling to that same grace when we fail to love one another, when we fail to do your word. Help us to cling to that grace each day as we are encouraged by the joy of a love greater than we could ever understand. Give us strength this day to hear your words, to hear your call to go out, and to care for one another.